This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we are taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience is putting you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle is blown in the game between Serbia and Switzerland. You're now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Okay, so we're back in the car after Switzerland's 3-2 victory over Serbia, on our way back to the hotel now from Stadium 974. And joining us in the car is Pascal Zuber-Buhler, Jurgen Klinsmann, Duri Cha, our analyst Elliot Stonnell, and I'm Lisa Fallon. Pascal, if we start with you, obviously with your background as a former international with Switzerland, what's your evaluation of the game?
Also, first of all, very happy that Switzerland beat Serbia, and we are qualified for the round of 16. That's the positive thing. We had before the game already a little bit shock message because Jan Sommer, the number one goalkeeper, was ill, and also the center defender Elvedi, also center back, both ill, and we have to replace them. And it's always important if you have a good squad, a big squad. But in the first half, when we observed these two teams, especially we saw many problems defensively. The goals, how they happen, and I think Jurgen and Duricha, they will explain them a little bit clearer. The defensive line, they were not on top today, but it was an open game. Switzerland started fantastic, and then after 20 seconds, the goalkeeper from Serbia, Vanja, he had to intervene twice with a double save, and he did this very well. And from this moment on, the first half was clear. This will be an open game.
Jurgen, I'll come to you. One of the main topics of conversation during the first half particularly was how open the game was and how transitional it was, and the gaps between the units, the distances between the lines. What was your evaluation on it?
Yeah, I think it was obvious that both teams struggled in midfield to kind of close the gaps and to keep the shape of the entire team compact, especially in the defensive transition. So when they lost the ball, to get back in a very kind of narrow defensive shape. And that's how the goals also kind of came. You know, they came through combination plays, or in the case now of both Serbian goals, basically by mistakes of Swiss players in midfield. They ran there. The first one, I think Freuler lost the ball in the middle of the park, and then Tadic took off and found Mitrovic. Beautiful header. The second Serbian goal was again a mistake. I think Shaqiri did a back pass, lost it, and then they combined quickly. So both goals in quick transition. The Swiss goals came through beautiful play through midfield, or the first one obviously with a long ball on the right side, but there was too much space in general. That's what I want to say. It's too much space left by both defensive units. The gaps between the defensive line and the midfield line, both teams struggled to close those gaps, and that's why we witnessed in this group again 5 goals. You know, I mean, there was another game, Cameroon against Serbia, in the beginning that ended 3-3, and then Serbia obviously lost to Brazil, and I think that's kind of what really made it difficult for Serbia to go into the round of 16. They were simply conceding too many goals.
When that becomes an issue in terms of the gaps between the units, Duri, how and whose responsibility is it to close them?
It's very important. First of all, from the Serbia side, the holding midfielder, Milinkovic, and I think was Lukic, had a huge problem to close and protect the last line. And the Swiss side was 2 individual errors who give Serbia the chance to score. But both teams had huge problem to close and stay compact in the defense. So that's for the neutral fan, it's a nice game. A lot of goals, a lot of action in the final third in the box. But in the tactical point of view, it's for both teams was not good enough. I would say.
And Jurgen, we saw a lot the way Vlahovic and Mitrovic played. They were always 2v2 against the two Switzerland centre-backs. As a former centre-forward, is that something you like to see?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is what you love. If you have a strong partnership up front and you can kind of bounce off each other and find some space and battle your way through with the centre-backs, that's ideal, you know. In this case, you know, many teams would have shifted to a back five, meaning putting three centre-backs then because, you know, Vlahovic and Mitrovic are two very, very good goal scorers. But to give credit to Switzerland, they were not scared at all.
And even with Tadic as well, because Tadic was coming on from that advanced midfield position as well.
Exactly, yeah. And Tadic always kind of gave them a hand. Obviously, he assisted both goals, and we know him. I mean, he's an exceptional player. So they found their spaces, but Switzerland was confident enough to accept the one-against-one situations with their centre-backs, which I found very courageous. And then in a moment, then Tadic, when he goes up front and he supports his two strikers there, obviously he leaves a gap behind him. And then, as you just said, you know, Milinkovic-Savic and Lukic are two number eights. So there's not really a number six, so a defensive midfielder than in the Serbian team. And then it gets difficult for the Serbian back line to, you know, make sure that nothing happens in their area. But you had a player on the field today with Embolo that was a real warrior. He kept them busy. He kept them fighting so they could play off him. You know, Shaqiri could find him. Freuler could find him. So Vargas was always quick there to cause some problems. And I think they did really well to confuse the Serbian defense in many, many occasions. And the way then they kind of scored also their goals, there was beautiful combination play, especially the third one, you know, when Shaqiri bounced it inside the box and then they laid it off to Freuler at the end. Fantastic goal. Embolo was a rock, and it's fun to see now we get some kind of new kind of youngsters breaking through as number nines. I'm looking at Gakpo from Holland. I'm looking at Embolo from Switzerland. It's fun.
And just in terms of the impact that Embolo made, Elliot, just from the lads have talked here about the problems that Serbia had defensively, how did that translate when you look at the data?
Right, so just in terms of both teams' team length in and out of possession, as we've mentioned, the spaces between the units being bigger. From the tournament average for Serbia, in possession is 35 metres, and their in possession team length in this game was 38 metres. For Switzerland, in possession, 35 metres is their tournament average, and in this game it was almost close to 40. So we can see in possession that the gaps between the units are increasing. And if we look at the out of possession team length for Serbia, for the tournament it's been 31 metres, but for this game it was 34. For Switzerland, for the tournament, 30 metres, and for this game, 34 metres. Just goes to show that even though the difference in metres is quite small, when you have players like Tadic and Embolo on the pitch, it does really make a difference. In terms of Switzerland's attacking prowess in this game, their expected goal so far this tournament has been 0.5 a game. They really came out like a team that needed to win the game and had an expected goals of 2.6.
Brilliant, thank you. Zubi, in terms of the goalkeeper contribution to today, what was your overall assessment?
Yeah, okay, first of all, for Gregor Kobel was, of course, a situation where he have to replace the number one, Jan Sommer. And this is always a fantastic moment, of course, as a second goalkeeper in a tournament. You have the chance to show up yourself, but it was really an unlucky game for him so far because he didn't had many things to handle with. He had not many saves. I remember me after 60 minutes he had a save, and especially when they concede the second goal. I don't say it's a mistake from him, but he was not in. He didn't set his feet for this goal from Vlahovic in this moment, and he couldn't show up exactly what quality he have. And on the other side, of course, Vivanya, there is also a very good, he's also a very good goalkeeper. He could show a little bit more, but this was a game with many mistakes, as Jürgen mentioned, in midfield, in the defensive line, losing ball, not too close to the opponent for going in the headers in the duel. It was an open game. It was, of course, fantastic to watch for the public, for everybody. It was a great game to watch, but for me as a goalkeeper expert, I don't like those games because on the end you conceded 3 goals or 2 goals.
Well, as you said, Zuby, it was a lively game and an ending to a very lively group stages of the competition. From tomorrow, we move into the knockout stages and the round of 16. So from all of us, it's a good night's sleep tonight and ready for the next stage of the FIFA 2022 World Cup. So my thanks to Zuby, Jürgen, Dury, Elliot, and from myself, we'll chat to you again tomorrow.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Centre. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcentre.com.